Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Yay Networks.
13 has been my lucky number for a while. Like, it's always a sign of good things to come for me.
This is 13, a Taylor Swift fan podcast, breaking down every song, every Easter egg, every era, and every theory. Hosted by the biggest Swifties, Nick Adams, Anna Casiejos, Amy Nichols, and Lacey G.
Hi. You might have noticed that over the last month, we've been teasing our episode on the Great War. And that's because this episode was recorded about a month ago. Since we recorded this, we have done things like gone to the Eras Tour. We've interviewed Jalen, who got the 22 hat in Arlington. So we've had stuff just kind of come up, timely stuff come up on the podcast, and we just kept pushing back our episode on the Great War. So since we have recorded the Great War episode a month ago, since then, Taylor Swift and Joe Alwyn have broken up. Taylor Swift has performed this song as a surprise song on tour. And now our episode just sounds really dated, which honestly is kind of comical at this point because the one time we tried to plan ahead. And now you might be wondering, Anna, why not just re-record the episode? Well, let me tell you.
We have a special guest. We have a Swiftie from across the pond. What up, Pippa?
Hi.
This is our lovely listener named Pippa. She's from London, she lives in New York, and she came all the way to Texas to visit us. So when she was visiting us, we're like, hey, why don't you record an episode with us? We're talking about the Great War. Jump on the episode with us. And it was a great episode, and it was so cool to do a whole episode with somebody that listens to our podcast, and we don't want to just not share that. So whenever you listen and you're like, this sounds like they recorded it a month ago, it's because we did. But it's still a great episode.
Welcome to 13, a Taylor Swift fan podcast. My name's Nick Adams.
I'm Anna.
Amy.
And I'm Lacey G.
And today we're going to break down The Great War. Can't wait. We're finally at the 3 a.m. edition of Midnights. This is very exciting. But it's not just the four regular voices you hear every single episode today. We have a special guest. We have a Swiftie from across the pond. What up, Pippa?
Hi.
So this is just so... It's a great random thing. We're going to do our podcast, and you're just going to sit here and you can interject as much as you want.
Yeah, I love it.
So Pippa hit us up and she said that she's going to be in the area. We're in the Dallas area of Texas. She said she's going to be in the area. Can she stop by? We said, sure. We record on Fridays. Are you going to be here around 10:30? And she said, here I am.
Yeah, if you want to. But before we do start, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm originally from London. I'm currently working in New York. I've been a Swiftie since, I think I discovered her, like everyone did, during Love Story. And then it kind of happened from there. I went a little bit off her during the Red Era, but then 1989, I was fully back in it. And ever since then, I've just been obsessed to the point where my family always are just like, you're talking about Taylor again, aren't you?
So have you ever seen her?
She's my best friend, Mom.
I've seen her, in concert?
Concert or in person. Really, I want in person. Have you ever been to a pub with her and ran into her there?
I'd love to. But no, I've seen her in concert, I think, 5.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Hold on, let me think about this. I've been to 1989, Rep. I saw her in the Jingle Bell Ball, where she was right in front of my face.
Yes,
in London. That's when she performed Christmas Tree Farm, right?
Oh
yeah. Yeah.
And she wore that cute outfit.
She was so close. I loved it. And there's another one, but I can't think of what it is now. I was gutted. After I was such a fearless fan. I was so sad afterwards. I was like, oh, I wanted to go to that tour because it looks awesome. And Speak Now. Speak Now was
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is Taylor known around, first off, how long have you been out of London or out of England?
8 months.
Okay.
Oh, really?
So is she known around there? Is it common to see Taylor? It wouldn't be a big deal to see Taylor and Joe somewhere out in public?
Not really. I mean, the only idea that we have is in the Me music video where there's all the colorful houses, people are like, oh, it must be that street. So maybe that's where she lives because it's like a really well-known street up in the north of London.
Interesting.
But I've never seen her out. I haven't even seen Swifties out in the world, really.
Really?
Around London.
But I wonder, I bet that'll change with this tour because with the Eras tour, merch is flying off the walls like wildfire. So I imagine that a lot of people are going to get merch and just wear it more often. Are you going to go to the Eras tour?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Which tour are you going to?
I've got, me and my a couple of friends have tickets to Nashville.
Fun.
Oh, my God. What a fun place to see her. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we'll get to it at some point, but I was actually, my friend got the pre-sale code to New York and I got the pre-sale code to Nashville and we had like four screens running through the Ticketmaster queue and we finally got to the Nashville one and we're like, well, I guess now we have to book flights.
Well, gotta go. Pippa, set me straight on something. I've never been to England. I've never been to London. For some reason, I think that London is my happy place. I think that's where I need to go retire and just be so happy. And I don't know why. I know the weather can be dreary. Yeah. Do they like Americans? Is that going to be my happy place? Do I need to just shut up and get there?
I mean, well, it's a funny one. I've always lived in the UK. So obviously, like, I've always loved London. And I was always that kid that, like, on a school trip, if we had to go into London by coach, everyone else would be like, ugh. And I'd be like, yeah, we're in London. But ever since I moved to New York, I was like, wow, this is like 10 times better. Everything's prettier. Everything's bigger. Everything's more exciting. But I do always love going back there. So
awesome.
You should definitely visit. Come visit me now that I've visited you.
We should.
I would love to.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially because we're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding because sometimes we don't know what we want. Just ask us what we want to eat. We really don't know. We don't know what we want or why we react the way we do until we talk things through. And that's why I like to talk to my friends at BetterHelp. BetterHelp Therapy connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. I like my counselor because it's super simple to be able to get in touch with her. All I have to do is send her a message and I will get a response back and I can call or do a video chat. BetterHelp makes it easy to be able to talk to somebody.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. Like Lacey said, it is convenient, flexible, and suitable to your schedule. All you got to do is fill out a super quick questionnaire on their website, and you're going to get matched up with the perfect therapist for you. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/TaylorSwiftFan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TaylorSwiftFan.
Now, I do want to say one thing before we get into Great War. Pippa is obviously a favorite of ours. She even came to in studio with us.
I know, this is huge.
But I do have to tell y'all about another great listener. Samantha messaged me on Instagram, and she might have possibly the best Eras costume.
What is it?
A lobster.
Shut up.
What? She is dressing
Shut
as
up.
A lobster
for
3:31 because of us, and she has a lover outfit underneath it. But she sent me what she ordered,
what?
And she is doing a lobster because she said she listened to our last episode
where we said
we don't think Taylor's doing any meet and greets,
yeah.
And she was like, "But I got a lobster. I got a lobster costume."
Wow.
Oh my God, that's.
Guys,
I'm speechless.
We have made it into Taylor Swift mythology that we're a costume.
We're part of the
at the Eras tour.
That's amazing.
Are
oh
you kidding?
Oh,
thank you, Samantha. Is incredible.
I hope a different Swifty sees Samantha
and gets
takes
it.
A video of it and posts it.
Explaining.
So that, like, it. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I saw this. This is incredible.
This is insane.
Yes.
But like in the coolest way.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That
is...
And I wish we were going to be at the same night, but she's going the night before us.
Oh. Samantha, you have to send us a video, a picture,
please,
or something of you with Taylor in the background with your lobster costume.
Samantha,
that's incredible.
Do we need to like, you're like our promo team.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to like pay her back? Are we supposed to pay her back?
Is
she trying to get us to expense her costume?
I did tell her, I said, I didn't realize she had already bought it, but I'll stick through with my plan. But I said, girl, if you do, I will buy you a lobster dinner. So I'm going to send her a gift card.
That's amazing. To Red Lobster?
That would be perfect. That would be perfect.
But that, oh my God, that's great.
That's really
cute. It's thoughtful. It's smart. It's funny. It's an inside joke within an inside joke.
Yes.
That's insane.
I love it. All right. Shall we get into the Great War?
Yes. Students? Wait, I do have one more question for Pippa.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, how did you find our podcast?
Through Instagram, I think. Ah. I think I was just like, I was such a Swiftie, and then it suddenly popped up one day. And I was like, come on, Taylor Swift podcast. I never listened to podcasts, but I'll give it a go.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
And when you listened, you were like, are you ever feeling like, oh, I feel like I'm in the room with them?
Oh, 100%.
Because now you are.
Now you are.
Like, right now, even though my adrenaline's running, like, I'm also like, it just all sounds the same. Like, I feel like I'm always in the room with them. Like, I literally, there was one day I think I messaged you. I was listening to one of the episodes. I can't remember what it was now. But I suddenly, like, in the middle of Central Park in New York, I just yelled out. And I was like, yes, Nick, I agree with you. And everyone else turned around and was like, what? Because I was wearing headphones as well. And I was like, don't mind me. I'm the problem. It's fine.
No, sorry. This is my podcast, friends.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it's, like, the same. I mean, it's really, right now, it's just five of us hanging out in a room.
We're just talking. Yeah.
Nobody listens to this.
Yeah. All right, let's get into The Great War.
The Great War is the 14th song on Midnights. It's the first song of the 3 a.m. edition. It's written by Taylor Swift. And we got a new writer, Aaron Dessner.
Woohoo!
He has his first appearance on Midnights.
Oh, like not just the producer?
Yeah, it's his first appearance on Midnights, but he's in four of the 3 a.m. edition songs. Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking about him coming up later.
This makes me so happy.
Yes, yeah, so we're getting into his vibes.
Right, like Jack Antonoff, great, but Aaron Dessner, oh, it's rich. It's so great.
It's rich.
And, you know, especially as Taylor's albums progress, but like The Great War, it's so dense. Mm-hmm. It's so, in a good way, wordy.
Yeah.
And she's like using so many like different references. And I just feel like this lyrically, this song just strikes me just a little bit different, especially than what we're hearing on Midnights. And it's just like spineless in my tomb of silence. Like, where does that come from?
Yeah.
It's just such a nice turn. And it's just like really, it's really cool. It's just like a masterclass in lyrics and things like that. So it's a really good song to break down.
Agree. I wrote here, when we talk about Taylor's lyricism, this song should be near the top of the list. And I think that maybe since it is the first of the 3 a.m. tracks, whenever we first got the 3 a.m. tracks, I definitely didn't listen to the lyrics, like listen to
well,
the words.
Well, I think you have to remember where we were at that point.
Drunk.
We were hammered, and we had recorded a podcast, and then we were like, oh my gosh, she has how many more songs?
We went back live
on social media, slap happy. So yeah, the hangover for me, I think, was starting to kick in already.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't listening to the lyrics, like you said.
Yeah, but then I also think, like, even a few days later, like, when you have the batch of 3 a.m. songs, I was immediately drawn to Dear Reader, and then obviously Would Have, Could Have, Should Have is powerful on its own. Like, I felt I was giving those two songs, I think, the most attention, that it took me a few days in the, like, Midnight's haze, if you will, to, like, actually listen to The Great War. And I was like, oh, my God, where has this been? I mean, I'd been listening to it, but I was like, where has it been? Mm-hmm. You know, but now reading the lyrics, like, for this episode, I'm like, oh, my God, she's crazy.
Yeah, it is
crazy. I mean, in a good, like, crazy talented.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it just starts off with the lyrics are just like right in your face. And you're like, hold on, this song is different. My knuckles were bruised like violets.
That is such a pretty way to say that.
Yeah.
That is so pretty.
So, you know, she's been fighting. Her knuckles are now purplish red. She's been going through something.
She's sucker punching walls.
Sucker punching walls cursed you as I sleep talked.
But they're like bruised and they're violet like the color. But also like her hands are probably like they're soft. Right? Like she's like trying to fight and throw these punches, but they're like really soft. Right? Like,
you know,
like a flower?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she mentions a garden later on, like way, way down. But she plants flowers through the entire song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is just the first one mentioned. I didn't think of it as soft, but yeah, flowers are soft.
So she says she's going through something. Cursed you as I sleep talked, spineless in my tomb of silence. So does that mean she's been keeping her mouth shut about something that's been bothering her? My tomb of silence?
Yeah,
I'm spineless. I'm not stepping up to speak my mind. I'm scared to speak my mind, maybe.
That's definitely
about
how
something
I interpret it. I feel like the entire, like the song as a whole, I think is about basically learning how to be in a healthy relationship after being burned way too many times, mm-hmm. with like past relationship trauma. Where, I mean, and she's talked about this kind of before in like Afterglow and like other songs where she refers to basically like punishing him for things he never did because of like my own anxieties, you know? Mm-hmm. And I relate to this a lot because I feel like sometimes like when you are having like a fight, even if it is a small fight that you're having with your partner, you like internalize it as being way bigger than it actually is. You know what I mean? And I feel like over the course of the song, of the story, it like starts with like fighting, but then eventually it leads on to the story of learning how to be in a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And it's a bit like The Archer, isn't it? In the way that like it says he would stay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of like she was fighting, expecting him to be like, okay, I'm done. This exactly. is too much. But actually he was like, no, it's fine.
Yeah. Like she's like, why haven't you run away by now?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, because I'm going to put up this fight, essentially.
And a lot of people on Reddit think that this is a very certain fight that happened, some big blowout that they had that connects Cornelia Street, Afterglow, and the Great War. That they think that those three, it means this significant fight, the one that could make or break you, but they still managed to stay together and work past it.
I would agree.
But in this place where she's not talking, she's letting the anger fester.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it looks like it festered to the point where the levees broke, the walls are being torn down. She says, tore your banners down, took the battleground, and maybe it was ego swinging, maybe it was her. Flashes of the battle come back to me in a blur. So she tore the banners down. She's not building this person up, I'm assuming is what mm-hmm. she's saying, to what she has in her mind. She took the battleground, so she's ready to fight. She's ready to go out there and stick up for herself. And then she says, and maybe it was ego swinging, maybe it was her. Who's her?
Third character.
Lots.
Depends on how you interpret it. Yeah.
Some people think her being, she's just being the narrator, kind of like blank space. She's looking from an outsider perspective and just saying her, not necessarily saying that there is another woman. Other people think that Joe was kind of a Lothario before her, and he had like he was
ladies man.
Yeah.
New word for me.
He had the reputation of being around. I don't know this for sure. This is just what I read on Reddit. So that made her feel insecure because now she's with someone who is highly sought after, who is known to date around and be with a lot of people. And so she didn't know if she could trust him. And so her could have been just anybody because he had that kind of reputation. Mm. She had her own reputation, but he had the reputation of getting around.
Big reputation.
And it's interesting that All the Girls You Loved Before just came out. Like if he was a ladies man, that has much more significance, right?
Right, because in Lover, she's saying if he is this ladies man, that was kind of a good thing because it brought him through to who he is now.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm highly suspicious that everyone who sees you wants you.
Mm-hmm.
She says that in Lover.
Yeah.
Well, and like we know that she's alluded to being cheated on before. So if you start dating a guy who's known for being a kind of ladies man, mm-hmm. of course you have that insecurity of like, am I going to be cheated on again?
Yeah. Great. I'm falling for this guy.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. so it's like probably like two very insecure thoughts intruding at once. The insecurity of like your past plus the insecurity of his past.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That is the Great War.
And someone else said, made them think of the scene in the Lover video where the guy chats with another woman and Taylor's worried about it. So there was a fight in that video that happened right after that.
That's so interesting because, well, first of all, this was a misinterpreted lyric for me for the longest time because I thought she said maybe it was ego swinging, maybe it was hurt. Like she was in pain, like maybe it was like hurt speaking, like my pain speaking. And then I found out that maybe it was her. So then I started to listen to it thinking her referring to like her past self that would just get defensive, you know.
I'd like to think that it's narrative, her talking about her.
Herself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
that's how I interpret it.
Yeah.
Personally.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin, The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You could flip it, though, and you could say that it's Taylor who's the one that's sought after. And, like,
yeah.
Joe is having to deal with all of these however many people always trying to, like, stalk her and, like, go into her house in the past and stuff. And, like, people get really obsessed with her.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, look at this podcast. Yeah.
Look like how that. Far I flew.
No, but that's a very, very good point.
Yeah, that's good. Pippa, would you like your own podcast? Would you like to break it all down?
13.5 it takes.
Yeah. Should we go into the rest of the lines?
Yeah.
All that bloodshed, crimson clover. Uh-huh. Sweet dream was over. Okay, so bloodshed, crimson clover, another flower.
Yes.
Amy, what does clover signify?
Well, Crimson and Clover was a Joan Jett song, which some believe she's referencing.
Okay.
Crimson and Clover. So it's about the green and the red, the growing and the love. The love is growing in that song. Mm-hmm. But here, the crimson is, you know, the fight.
Yeah.
So.
All that bloodshed, crimson clover. Uh-huh. Sweet dream was over.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean the puppy dog phase of love is over? Does that mean
probably.
The honeymoon phase was over?
That's how I took it.
Okay.
Interesting. I did read on Genius Lyrics that Crimson and Clover, the song you were just talking about, I'm not familiar with that song, so correct me if I'm wrong, but people would interpret it as commentary on the Vietnam War.
Oh. Ooh.
That song, with the imagery of crimson blood spilled on the fields of clover.
Okay.
So by her referencing that in a song about the Great War, which a lot of people call the Great War as World War One, so it just kind of is an extra layer of imagery and metaphor.
Yeah. And I think white clover is the signal of war or like a white flag. I don't know. I should have wrote that down.
I'm not a history buff. I can't really chime in too much when it comes to history
things.
But
I know white flag is like saying like we're surrendering.
Which
I don't want to carry on.
In her lyric video, what we see.
Really?
White flag waving around.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. During this part?
At the beginning.
Oh,
I think it like fades to a sky at some point.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
She says, my hand was the one that you reached for all throughout the Great War. So.
Even though they're fighting, she's still.
Beloved. It,
or he's still reaching for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, kind of like how Pippa was saying earlier, like, same as like the archer, like, he's still. He's like, I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to like prove your insecurities right.
And in 1989, what does she sing? All you have to do is stay. All you have to do is stay. And he's staying.
And then in red, before all of this, stay.
Always remember, tears on the letter. I vowed not to cry anymore if we survive the Great War.
So I do love that this is one of those songs where she takes the verse and she changes the lyrics every time. And so the lyrics that will change later will be when she says, I vowed not to cry anymore. Well, also the tears on the letter, I vowed not to cry anymore. And we'll see it like progress where like in this first time that we hear it, she really is just like breaking down. Like she's saying, I'm the one that's struggling with the anxiety of this, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot. It's like a lot of. I really just do think it's a lot of like past trauma that she's trying to.
That she's bringing into a relationship and trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
So that this new relationship can be successful.
Yeah. And I can't help but be curious as to what the event of the Great War was, you know, like this fight between them, like specifically what it was.
Well, you know, think about what was going on in Taylor's life right before she was with Joe, who I'm assuming this is going to be about, you know, it was back to that summer of 2016 when it was crazy. It was a great war. And she had just gotten through what appeared to be a bad breakup with Calvin Harris. She went through that
fling
with Tom Hiddleston. People were trashing her about that. Then it was the Kim and Kanye video and famous video and all that. So is that the trauma she's trying to get through? Like, right as her this new relationship is starting, she had just kind of been through a great war.
Well, all of her relationships been kind of traumatic. Mm-hmm. And then that is her war. Mm-hmm. And then his war is that he's fighting for her. So they're even fighting different wars. You know?
It's kind of, well, and I feel like, I just haven't even formulated my thought, but I just gave myself the chills. in her, like,
this better be good.
It's not going to be. In like her early songs, she's always talking about how she, you know, imagines love to be burning red and like fireworks and sparks flying and this like big thing, like, oh my gosh, love is huge and this like, you'll do anything for each other. And then as we have grown with her and she's grown in her relationships and her relationship with Joe, she has figured out that love is sweet nothings and peace and like things like that. So I forget how I was going to tie this into the Great War.
Yeah.
But it did in my head before I started speaking. But maybe, you know, there is just kind of like all of those battles.
Fighting her idealism of what love is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did want to say she has often written letters in her lyrics where she's just writing it to get it off her chest, and Evermore, she addresses the letter to the fire.
Oh, yeah.
So this is just another when she says tears on the letter. She's not communicating. She's still not sharing with him that they are in a war.
And also during like these times of like the actual Great War from like the early 1900s, like you would write letters to each other.
Mm-hmm. I need to leave.
Did you want? Yeah, up to you.
So I have to leave. That's why Pippa's here. She's going to fill in for me. She's filling in for me while I'm gone.
Well, you have to teach her how to close the end of the episode, which you constantly mess up.
So. I always mess up.
Pressure.
Y'all are going to be fine. I have to run.
Yeah. Okay.
So have fun. I'll listen to the rest another time.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Bye, Nick. See you later.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
I thought this would be the perfect time that we talk about our friends here at BetterHelp, because Taylor is about to get into some bad habits where she's talking about just retreating by herself and dealing with all these emotions by herself. And I don't think that that's very healthy. I personally like to call my friends at BetterHelp whenever I'm having a problem, because it's better to be able to talk it out with somebody and have some guidance and some reassurance. I just think that it's really healthy, because therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding. And sometimes we don't know why we react the way that we do, but you can talk to somebody and they can put you on the right track so you can be able to form healthier habits. I know that's what my therapist at BetterHelp has helped me be able to do.
And it's wonderful to not only talk about everything you're going through, but to learn the skills to then deal with those when you're on your own. And a therapist can help you do that. And so if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge if you feel like maybe the first match wasn't the right one for you.
Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/TaylorSwiftFan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TaylorSwiftFan.
Because then we get into it, and you drew up some good faith treaties. He's trying to now form peace with her. We're going to resolve this issue. But she draws the curtains closed and drinks the poison all alone. So she's just trying to deal with this by herself. She's almost like punishing herself by drinking the poison.
It is a really cool way to just see how she takes the imagery of war to like relate it back to a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like good faith treaties. Good faith is a diplomatic concept. So I read, it says in international law, all parties have a duty to act in good faith, which means upholding the principles of integrity and justice, especially with a moment like this.
Mm-hmm. And that she uses Drew in two different ways. he drew up treaties and she drew the curtains. I love when she does that.
I didn't even pick up on that. Mm-hmm. I did not pick up on that.
So Drink My Poison is a reference to Romeo and Juliet, which she's done before in other songs. And I've seen that other people think that it's about alcohol or self-sabotage, drinking the poison. She's drinking herself to this point, which she's also mentioned in other songs.
Yeah. I mean, if you do feel like sometimes you do reach those points.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. And I also think that by emphasizing that she's all alone, she continues to do so in the next few lines as well. She's saying she's just isolating herself to basically make herself believe that he is the enemy. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I feel like I've caught myself doing that in my own like anxieties and stuff, where I'll take something so small that like Ryan said or did, and I will blow it up in my head to like make him the enemy. And he's like, that's not what I meant. That's not what I did. You know? And it's just like, yeah, at the end of it, after the Great War, it's like, no, yeah, you're right. I punished you for something that you never did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said I have to trust more freely.
Diesel is desire.
You were playing with fire.
I love that line.
But here's the only fault that I have with that line. You said I have to trust more freely. I do understand that. Taylor's very, very skeptical, and she doesn't need to be skeptical of everybody. Not everybody's out to get you and to do you harm. However, on the other side, I trust way too freely. And then that stabbed me in the back before, because I didn't realize, like, leaving a job and going to another one, that it could be a complete crap job and you're working for a maniac. I didn't know that. I was too naive.
Too trusting.
Yeah. I let someone move in with me. Ends up they were a homeless squatter.
And
Yes. Didn't pay me money. And I had to kick them out. And I was like, my gosh, this is what I'm doing on my own. Now I'm on my own and I have to take care of myself. And look at what I'm doing. I'm making bad decisions because I am naive and more sheltered than I realized. Yeah. So anyway, that's my only fault with that, is that, yes, you do have to trust more freely. But at the same time, I know that I'm naive. And then that's made me, but I don't want to be, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to be jaded. Like, right. I'm not going to be against people. But now I did have to learn the hard way that not everybody has my best interest at heart. What is wrong with you people?
And this has got to be specific to, you know, their relationship, to trust more freely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I feel like by saying Diesel's desire, you were playing with fire, like, she knows she has trust issues. And so then by him saying you need to trust more freely, to me, that'd be triggering. Like, I'm telling you that I have problem trusting somebody. And then he's just like, well, you need to just do it better. It's like when
someone says, stop crying.
Yes.
You're like, that just makes me cry more.
Right. Yeah. Or when you're sad and they're like, smile more. Mm. You're like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like maybe for her, like, she knows she has trust issues. She's been burned before. And they're in whatever situation this is that is questioning her trust and how much trust she has. And then for him to say, you know, you said I had to trust more freely, you're playing with fire. You know, like, I feel like that's just what sparked
risky.
The Diesel, I guess.
It's risky.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just the past talking.
Yeah, maybe.
Screaming from the crypt, telling me to punish you for things you never did.
Okay, I have to say, did you guys watch Wednesday on Netflix? The show Wednesday?
No.
Yes.
I heard about it, but no.
So one of the big, this sounds like so off, whatever, but one of the big, like, plot lines and like scenes in the show is that there's a crypt. And so all like throughout the whole series, they're talking about like, oh, meet me in the crypt, or oh, I was at the crypt, or whatever. And every single time they said it in my head, I'd be like, screaming from the crypt. Like, I couldn't watch the show Wednesday without thinking of
that line
every single time they mentioned it. So that has nothing to do with, like, the lyrics or anything, but...
I mean, I have two thoughts right now that where I'm like, do I say either of them or do
say
I say
both.
Neither of them?
It's both.
Not related at all.
That's fine.
Have you seen You?
Yes. I have, like, one episode left in the new season.
So both in season 2 and season 3, they end it with a Taylor song, and I'm like...
Yes. Oh, yeah!
Yeah!
With Exile, right?
Exile is, like, the perfect song for that moment. I love it. And then they end the whole season 3 with Antihero, and I'm like, yes! He literally is an antihero. That's right.
They perfect. Also started the series with Cardi B, because Cardi B was a big fan and was like tweeting at Joe last year
in
Netflix.
About that.
Yeah, so they casually slid Cardi B in there just because she's a big fan.
That's funny. Cool. I didn't catch on to that.
Yeah,
Joe Goldberg, Swiftie, and
for sure
Cardi B fan.
Well, he even did the anti-hero thing where he opens the door on TikTok.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
That's how he started that trend,
right after the music video.
I don't know if he started it, but okay. he definitely was the first post on his TikTok, and yeah. I was like, good choice. How to start your TikTok career?
Good choice. What was your second thought?
I can't remember now. Oh, that was it. Yesterday, I was driving in the car with a friend, and she was saying, oh, yeah, that's like my crib tonight. And I was like, did you know, for the longest time as a kid, I thought it was crib tonight. I didn't realize it was crib tonight. And I was like, oh, that makes so much more sense.
Crib tonight.
That's adorable.
That's funny.
Yeah, I wasn't the smartest kid.
That's okay. I didn't know what kryptonite was for the longest time. Like, I knew the word, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, it's a reference that you got to know, yeah. Or you're in the dark. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pippa, you're saying you're not the smartest kid. Girl, I moved to Georgia whenever I was in elementary school, and I'm riding with my mom one day, and I see this big cotton farm, but I didn't know what it was, and I got so excited, and I was like, oh, Mom, they're growing popcorn, and she was like, my God, you are an idiot. I thought they were growing popcorn in Georgia.
Hey, at least it wasn't like a field of drugs, and you were like, oh, it's trees.
Yeah, and that's when it's concerning.
Okay, so telling me to punish you for things you didn't do, but I justified it. So she is continuing to punish him even though he didn't do it because she is making justifications for it. Well, it's okay. He's going to do it, or I just don't trust him anyway.
Well, you said earlier that people are thinking this has some significance to Afterglow. And in Afterglow, she said, put you in jail for something you didn't do, which is almost lyrically almost the same.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I definitely think that I'm sure there was just like some great, though I do wonder, because you were saying that people have been tying it back to Cornelia Street. For some reason in my head, I feel like this Great War Afterglow situation probably happened later on in their relationship. Whereas in Cornelia Street, I think it was kind of when they first started dating, because then they're on the, you know, rooftop talking about like define, like, you know, let's do this, whatever. But I feel like this is like deeper in the relationship. Like,
yeah, because in Cornelia Street, he showed his hand and she turned around and came back. She was getting ready to leave. So right. I completely agree.
Yeah.
I think that was the start of their relationship.
When they were playing cat and mouse.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the whole story of, I want to say So It Goes. No, what was it? Dancing with Our Hands Tied.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They like pretty much she wanted to break up with him because she was like, I can't put you through this. And then he was like, no,
yeah,
I'm not going anywhere. And that she went into the studio and literally cried. You know, like, let's make this into a song.
God, she's phenomenal. And also in Paper Rings, where she says cat and mouse for a month or two or three. I feel like that was the Cornelia Street type games being played. What are we doing? Fights are being had. But I feel like the Great War was probably like, what, 2 or 3 years into like a relationship where it's heavy. It's heavy. Mm-hmm.
Heavy hitter.
Yeah.
Really makes you wonder how much she's healed and how much she actually needs better help. It's like, I swear, in every single album there's one song where it's like, it's my jam because it's all about like anxiety and trust issues.
Yeah.
Like, even on Midnights you have Labyrinth and Great War.
Yeah.
So Archer, like,
yeah,
all you had to do was Stay,
which is very, very heavy. I wonder how many. Well, she had said at one point in an interview that she has a friend that's a therapist that would like talk about like her lyrics. But I wonder if Taylor Swift has her own therapist, like what kind of like advice do you give to somebody that's already like
does so much work on their own?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I see in
by pouring it out into art.
But you can be self-aware and still want help or want to talk to somebody.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
That's the biggest thing that I've gotten from therapy is that I am super self-aware. So if somebody tries to blame something on me, whereas I used to would apologize even if it wasn't my fault. Now I'm like, no, dude, you're not putting that on me. Cool. I did not. I absolutely did not. And you're not going to shame me for something that I didn't do. Yeah.
I need to get there.
So yeah. I will call people out on their stuff. You're not putting that on me. I'll take ownership for something that I've done, but you're not going to accuse me of anything. No, get out of here. I'm good times only.
I feel like that's very healthy, particularly after just going through a divorce.
Yeah.
Like, nope, it's too heavy if I put it all on myself.
Yeah, good vibes only.
You're not putting that crap on me, boy.
Yeah. So one of my other favorite parts of the song was when she says, so I justified it, because it's like she is like bad, like, oh my God, I'm being triggered. The diesel is desire. I'm screaming from the crypt. telling me to punish you for things you never did. So I justified it. And then she keeps fighting. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Gosh. What a bomb drop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she gets back into the bridge. All that bloodshed, crimson clover. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
The bombs were close.
Which she switched outfit from Sweet Dream was over in the first verse.
Yeah.
Mahan was the one you reached for all throughout the Great War. Always remember the the burning embers. And now she switches it to I vowed not to fight anymore. It was cry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's I vowed not to fight anymore if we survive the Great War. So she doesn't even know if they're going to make it at this point.
Yeah. But it does show growth from cry to fight. Mm-hmm. Like, I vowed not to cry anymore versus I vowed not to fight anymore. Like, okay, maybe you have a point. Maybe I've been fighting too harshly. Too hard? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or unfairly, maybe.
Unfairly.
And then it turned into something bigger.
Oh, what a great bridge. Can we just appreciate it also?
Fantastic.
Somewhere in the haze, got a sense I've been betrayed. Your finger on the hairpin triggers. That means something.
Well, to start from the beginning of it, like, it turned into something bigger. I was reading about how during the real Great War, World War I, everybody at that point thought this is the war to end all wars.
Right.
It is a literal world war. But then...
Surprise.
World War II. World War II. So is she kind of saying, like, it turned into something bigger? Like, are you scared that World War II is on the horizon? Like, yeah, we're fighting the Great War. This is probably the biggest fight we've ever had. But maybe there's something even worse on the horizon.
Ooh, that's deep. I didn't think about that.
I didn't either.
You know, because somewhere in the haze got a sense I'd been betrayed. Like, yeah, I vowed not to fight anymore. But should I?
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I being betrayed? You know, and then your finger on my hairpin triggers. I read that as, like, okay, something, like, she exploded.
Well, hairpin trigger is a modification made to a gun, which makes it respond to very little pressure on the trigger, allowing for it to fire faster. So it's like saying she's quick to anger. She's quick to get mad.
Like, just triggering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, you know, later on we hear that she plants a memory garden, and it could be your finger on my hairpin. That's a memory. Your finger on my hairpin, and then the hairpin trigger. So she's like pushing two thoughts together at once. I heard someone say, I think it was on Reddit, but I was like, whoa, she did it again.
Just to kill my time?
Yes.
Wow. So soldier down on that icy ground looked up at me with honor and truth, broken and blue. So I called off the troops. So I feel like just in this bridge, like something, it turned into something bigger. She exploded, but then... he looked at me with honor and truth, like, okay, yeah, you are going to stay. Like, I had this big meltdown, potentially, emotionally, but you're still here, mm-hmm. looking at me with honor and truth.
Like, and that's when she waves the white flag.
Yeah.
War's over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how when she says, call off the troops, all I can picture in my head is, like, in her head, like, angry Taylor, fearful Taylor, like, all her different...
Oh, like, those are her troops.
Like, we're ready to French. Like, no.
It's fine.
Calling off, yeah.
Go back to your little hole.
Yeah, that's a good visual. I bet if this song had a music video, it would just be, so visual. And I imagine the entire thing being in slow motion for some reason.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of it would, to me, I imagine, is it White Horse? Where she's like sitting on the floor crying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of thing, but then mixed with like blank space fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 yeah. Kind of like all at once. Are we producing the music video?
Taylor.
Hey, we have some ideas. But yeah, she says, that was the night I nearly lost you. I really thought I lost you. So whatever this fight was, it was big enough for her to think that it was the end of the end. Like, it's whatever it was serious. But did she feel more like she needed to... I wonder, like, in this fighting that she was doing, even if it was unfair, even if it was... you know, deep-rooted in, like, anxieties and self-insecurities, like, was she more so wanting to win the battle than win the war? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I want to win this fight, not win the relationship or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then whatever it was that happened that he said, whatever conclusion they came to, ultimately he shows her that he's there to stay.
Yeah.
Reminds me of ego swinging and just, like, putting your ego aside and being like, nope, I can lose this battle because I'm more interested in keeping you.
In the war. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us about the memory garden, Amy.
Yeah, we can plant a memory garden. So she planted flowers throughout the song. There's violet, crimson clover, poppy in my hair, and then morning glory. So throughout the song, she's just planting the memory garden.
Now, there's a lot of flowers that she mentions. Violets symbolizes modesty and faithfulness. It's also something, poetry, whatever. Clover symbolizes faith, hope, love, and luck. Also used as a symbol of protection against snakes.
Oh, really?
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Poppies symbolize remembrance and regeneration. Grow on the field of battles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've found where it says World War I Remembrance Day poppies are a symbol of respect and remembrance for those who died in World War I. Red poppies are also a symbol of remembrance and a hope for a peaceful future.
Morning glory symbolizes longing, affection, and love. Blooms in the morning only to die by the nighttime. And then memory garden is the memory garden of her relationships that broke her heart. She says there's no more hope anymore. She's saying that while they survived the war, there's nothing left of any of the previous relationships to go back to except for the flowers she planted in the garden.
Oh.
So now she's going to put the past behind her and essentially bury her trauma. And now this isn't going to be a problem anymore. It's a memory. It's a garden. It's something I can revisit, but it's not my current problem. It's not any of our issues.
Yeah. Wow, that's deep.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it was that easy to get rid of trauma. Just be like, yep, can bury it. Yeah, it's not going to haunt me again.
Literally just plant a garden.
She's haunted with beautiful ghosts.
Ah, ain't that
two references
truth
in one.
So she says, we can plant a memory garden, say a solemn prayer, place a poppy in my hair. There's no morning glory. It wasn't war. It wasn't fair. And we will never go back.
We will never go back. See that? Once again, changing up the lyrics for the storytelling devices is my favorite thing about Taylor Swift's songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really is. But she basically admits that it wasn't fair, most likely on her side, from what she makes it sound like.
She takes responsibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like that part where she says, we will never go back, I feel like it's very motivating, like both for herself as the character in the story and then also as the listener.
Oh, yeah.
Who is listening to the story being told. You know, it's like, never go back to the net. Oh, my God. I love this song.
Yeah, I definitely snoozed on it before.
Yeah.
But I feel I am so sad that I didn't rank it higher whenever we did rank, which was super late or early in the morning, early whichever morning way you want to look at it.
I know. We're going to have to redo our rankings at the end of all of our breakdowns once again
mm-hmm.
to see how they compare. It is. Yeah. I didn't give the song the time that it mm-mm needed.
And then for the last little bit of this song, she does the good old switcheroo. Uh-huh. We're burned for better because now they've survived it. I vowed I will always be yours because we survived the Great War.
I love that. So she went from vowing not to cry to vowing not to fight to vowing to vowing to always be yours, to never leave.
Now, Taylor, I'm not putting bad karma on you in your relationship.
Karma? Uh-oh.
None whatsoever. But I do want to share this story. One time I was having car problems and my then husband paid for it to get it fixed. And I noticed I was still having car problems. So he comes home from work and I'm cooking. I'm in the middle of cooking dinner and I have a knife in my hand. Amy knows this story very well.
I do.
I have a knife in my hand. I have some murder show, like Why Women Kill, playing in the background. And he comes in and I was like, hey, my AC is kind of messed up again right now. And he goes, oh, well, you better go take it and get it fixed so you don't have to pay more. I mean, I don't have to pay more money for it. Girl, I looked at him in that moment and I thought, I know why women kill. I know. You're going to fuck with me right now while I have a knife in my hand? Are you kidding me? I did not kill him. I did not. So I thought,
for the record,
I thought that meant we were going to be together for forever because I did not kill him in that moment when I could have and should have.
Wow.
I know you're divorced and I haven't seen him in a while, but nobody, no crime.
I also have not seen him.
Yeah. So we survived that war, but not the great divorce. The great divorce got us for sure.
You won that battle, but not the great war.
Yeah.
Not the great war.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's fine. Everyone says divorce gets everyone. Like,
it's divorce is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I love being single. It's great. I'm living a good life now.
That is so. That's great. That's really wonderful to see.
Yeah. Especially after hearing that story, I'm like, yeah, you sound better by yourself.
She's like, yeah, Lacey's been using BetterHelp.
Yeah.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would definitely, most definitely rank this a lot higher than I would have in the past. Not just like initially from the, like when we got Midnights a couple of months ago, but also just after like, and I say this every episode, but after reading the lyrics instead of just like listening mm-hmm. to them. Mm-hmm. But I do think this is one of Taylor's best lyrical pieces. I feel like it's such a story. It's so visual. And it really, oh gosh, she's just so talented.
And we didn't even talk about it, but it was such a chaotic surprise. Like, we didn't even know it was coming. It was just the 13 songs. And this was like, boom. I don't know. I'm sure she's had other greater surprises, but this one,
it was shocking.
It was.
Yeah.
We knew something, but we did not know.
I did not expect this.
Me neither.
Not at all.
And I love a good surprise.
Amy, so how do you feel about the Aaron Dessner part of this song, contribution to the song?
Oh my gosh. I'm more of a feels person than a poppy person. So all of the 3 a.m. edition is my fave just because Aaron Dessner's got his fingers in it, you mm-hmm. know, helping our girl.
Yeah. That's awesome.
He was definitely a good addition to the songwriting.
Yeah.
Well, and then we saw, you know, all Jack Antonoff, I guess before Midnights got released, and I didn't see Aaron Dessner. I guess it should have been a clue that there were 3 a.m. was coming, but I just didn't know.
Well, that's true. I didn't think about the fact that, like, maybe he strategically wasn't there.
Yeah.
To not ruin it rather
he
than,
did
like,
tweet something. It's not what you think, or with something with like 13 exclamation points, and it just went right over my head.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah.
Because I do remember when we got the track list, you were like, oh, you were kind of bummed.
I was.
You were kind of bummed. But we got the 3 a.m. We got the 3 a.m. tracks, which are just so special.
I do have a hot take that somebody shared on Reddit. Someone said they think this song is actually about her feud with Katy Perry.
What?
I saw someone do a video about that.
Yeah, maybe it was ego swinging. Maybe it was her. Both singers had egos to protect. And flashes of the battle come back in a blur. All that bloodshed, Crimson Clover. Bad Blood video was obviously a whole battle scene. So, Tears on the Letter, I Vowed Not to Cry Anymore. If We Survive the Great War, Katy famously sent Taylor an olive branch and a letter before her Reputation Stadium tour in 2018. You drew up some good faith treaties. I drew curtains closed, drank poison all alone. Katy Perry went on The Late Show to James Gordon and claimed she tried to reach out to Taylor. It was a full shutdown, and then she writes a song about me, and I'm like, okay, cool. That's how you want to deal with it. So they just had a lot of references back and forth to Katy Perry and Taylor Swift. And then the best response ever, I thought, someone said, are all y'all serious? Laugh my ass off. It's about her and Joe's big fight, as if she's thinking of Katy like that.
Yeah, this is the first that I hear that.
Interesting theory, but I can't back it.
Yeah.
I never quite got that whole feud. Like, wasn't it originally over, like, dancers? Taylor took one of Katy's dancers just before tour or something.
It was something along those lines,
I feel like the media then blew it up into
for
this huge thing.
For sure. Which I'm sure behind closed doors, like, it didn't help that the media was making such a big deal about it.
Yeah.
And even now, like, people forget that they have made up. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not enemies anymore. People, like, forget that.
We thought they were going to kiss in the Me music video. Not me. You need to calm down.
Oh, I didn't.
I thought they were going to kiss.
Oh, really?
I mean, just a friendly kiss. But whenever they're doing the burger and fries and stuff, I thought they were going to run up and actually, like, kiss each other, like sisterhood.
Which is cute. The burger and fries is very cute and also a great Eras Tour costume.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Like, if anyone's going as a pair or a couple or a couple of friends.
Yeah.
That is cute. I didn't think about that.
Lobster is still the best, though.
That is the best. I still can't believe that. So that's it for this episode on The Great War. How does Nick usually do this? We just talked about this. Go ahead and leave us a nice review. All the ways to contact us are in the description of this podcast, because I'm sure we missed a ton that you want to chime in on, which goes to show you could literally chime in if you're like Pippa, you come and see us in studio. All the ways to contact us are in the description of this episode. And be sure to check out our next episode where we just talked to Pippa all about her and her Swiftie life, and we just kind of geek out over everything. Bye.
Thanks for listening to 13, a Taylor Swift fan podcast. Subscribe for free and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.